And our guest on this part of the program this morning is Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Barry.
It's good to have you here to talk about what's available to help a business succeed in our community. And our community is not just St. Joseph, but this wider area, including all of the people in agriculture who make such a contribution to our local economy.
Yeah, absolutely. More than half of the land that is in Missouri, I learned this just like 2 days ago, more than half of the land that's in Missouri is cropland, actually. And an even higher percentage is other farmland, you know, with animals and that kind of thing. And so, and then of course, up here in like Northwest and North Central and upstate Missouri, we have a ton of farmers. And so I wanted to talk specifically about, you know, the ag industry and funding agricultural business development with federal and state grants. So it's one of the few areas where businesses, ag businesses, can actually receive some funding.
And this is also something that comes under your umbrella of and your arsenal of tools available to help people in business, and farming is a business.
That's absolutely, absolutely it is. And yeah, we help them with the farmers in particular with everything from bookkeeping and accounting and learning how to do QuickBooks to, you know, making sure that their farms are set up like they should be as far as on the legal side of things. Like, you know, do you want to be an LLC or a sole proprietor? And here's the differences and those kinds of things. But financing in general with any type of business is something that we do a lot, finding financing and different types of financing, or I should say funding, because, you know, financing is a loan that you have to pay back versus funding in general. Like what we're going to talk about is grants, and grants don't have to be paid back. So, you know, grants are meant to be a short-term infusion of funds, and so you just have to apply for them. You're not guaranteed to get them. So there is some time and homework involved for sure in order to try to get a grant. But it's worth it if you do receive one.
Mm-hmm. So this is maybe something that that many in agriculture haven't maybe directly thought about, the fact that there is this grant money available.
Right, or even where would they start to look for some money like that? Or,
sure.
Yeah, or, okay, well, even if there is a grant available, I've never tried to get a grant. I don't know the first thing about writing a grant and that kind of thing. And so our office, the SBDC, can certainly help them with all of those things. And then after today's talk, we'll have this recording on our website, and we're going to post these grants in a PDF form so people can just download them and take a look at them as well.
Oh, great. Okay, so they can listen from the website to what we're talking about and then download the grants.
Absolutely.
The application.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They'll have access to all of that.
Another thing that about this is that these are not – they're not just federal grants. They're state grants also.
They are, and some of them have very similar names. And so, like, one of them is called a value-added grant. If you get a state value-added grant, it doesn't preclude you from getting a federal value-added grant. So it's important to understand that as well, that you can receive multiple grants.
So walk us through what we could look for and maybe expect to find.
Sure. So the first thing you want to do is just make sure that whatever the criteria is for the different grants that are available, and we are going to talk about a few specific grants that are available, is you want to make sure that your project that you're needing the funding for aligns with whatever the grant is for. You know, that seems like common sense, but it has to really match up. So you want to ask yourself, you know, do you as the applicant meet the grant program's eligibility? Does your project actually address at least one priority area that's named in the grant? Because they usually have things that are more important than others listed in the grants. Does the program fund expenses that you need funded? Because if it says, you know, for example, if it says it will only fund technical assistance, then that means it's not going to fund your payroll, you know, or it's not going to fund inventory or things like that. So you just need to be sure that the expenses that you need funded are actually listed as a possibility in that grant. And then you can also take a look at whether or not the program has funded projects like yours in the past. So, and that's really important because any of these grants that we're going to talk about today, federal and state, you can go back and see who received the grants before you, like last year during this time. You can look and see who's received them and what that project was for, and if it kind of jives with what you're talking about doing, because you can kind of get a sense looking back at the historical records of this is the type of projects that they do like to fund or not. And then lastly, if the program requires any matching funds, then do you have the matching funds required? And so that's very, very important because that's the one thing that a lot of these people that are applying for grants don't realize is that many of them, not all, but many of them require that you have matching funds. And so it could be, you know, you have to have 10% of the project or you have to match exactly, 100% of, like, if you get 10 grand, you have to have 10 grand to match it so that it's basically a 20 grand project in total. But some of them don't require match and others may only require a small amount. So it just, every grant is different, but it's something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. So and that's something that you've got all the information on and you could help steer them to if they don't have a lot of money to in effect make a down payment,
right.
There are some resources available there for them.
There are, and there's some like intricacies too, and some tiny little details that some people may not be aware of. Like, well, you may not have that cash sitting there right now, but you may have already done something with your business that would count as that match already, even though it's not available any longer. Like, oh, well, you just bought equipment last year for $20,000 for your farm. Okay, well, that can count as your cash match, going forward.
It's almost like an in-kind thing.
Yes, very similar. So it's already there. And some grants will allow that, some won't. So it's just one of those things where you just have to really dig deep into the grant to find out, and I can help with that.
So can you give us some examples of the kinds of grants that might be suitable here?
Yeah, so the first couple I'm going to talk about are federal grant programs. And so the federal grant programs are through the USDA, the United States Department of Ag. I lost my train of thought for a second. I'm like, what's the D? It's Department, USDA. So the federal grant, one of them is the Value-Added Producer Grant or the USDA Rural Development Grant. And so what is a value-added producer? That's the first question. It's like, it's called a value-added producer. How do I know if that's what I do? So a value-added producer is someone who fits into one of these like five criteria. So if whatever you're making changes physical state, then that means it's value added. So if you take berries and you make jam, that's changing the physical state, right? Mm-hmm. From a solid to a liquid plasma kind of thing. We're getting into science here now. How about that? Another thing that would make it value added so that you would be eligible for this federal grant is if it's produced through a process that adds value to the product itself. So like if you can promote it as being organic or grass-fed or whatever the case is that makes it special compared to all other products, similar products, then it would be considered a value-added product. If it's physically segregated from other products such as identity-preserved grain, if it's a form of renewable energy – we know what that is. Mm-hmm. Or also if it's a form that generates generated on the farm, like you can produce ethanol from corn, so that would be renewable energy. Or if it's produced and sold locally. Now, that one surprised me. So because a value-added product, if it's produced and sold locally, that pretty much would be everybody around here. Almost everyone around here, farmers sell their stuff to local outlets in addition to maybe, shipping it out other places. So so keep that in mind, those that are listening that are farmers or in the ag business out there. If you produce and sell locally, like local beef, local eggs, any of that stuff, then you would be eligible, on that sense at least, for the value-added federal grant. So what it does is it encourages new or expanded value-added ag activities focused on processing and marketing. And so you can get up to $75,000 for planning and up to $250,000 for actual working capital, so operating funds. And things that would be eligible as far as, you know, in your budget for expenses would be planning projects will fund stuff such as feasibility studies and business plans. And then working capital projects will fund the actual processing, marketing, and advertising costs, and even some inventory and salary. And match is required. So this is one of those grants that does require match. And the amount will vary depending upon the project. So, and we can get into the details of that. If someone out there is interested, they can give me a call. So that's the federal value added grant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's up to $250,000, and it's for just about, you know, anything you need it to be for, which is really nice.
Well, I'm just trying to think of an example of how this might apply. And it seems to me that maybe it's an obvious one. Maybe it's too obvious and I'm missing something. But if your farm engages in some degree or another with, say, farm market situation, a farmer's market, where you take your goods on a Saturday,
yes,
and you're selling them to the public. You're selling directly retail,
yes,
at that point, whether it's jam or whether it's sweet corn or whatever it might be. You're actually preparing stuff for the retail market.
Yes.
Would that be an example?
It would be an example, actually. Yes, it would be. And then you would be able to access, you know, working capital to help you. You know, it wouldn't sustain you forever, but it would really help you get up and going if you were a startup, or if you're trying to scale your business and, like, reach more different farmers markets within the region instead of just going to one or two. You know, this would allow you to have the funding to do that. Maybe you need a truck in order to transport, you know, stuff that has to be refrigerated or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was going through some of these, I realized there's one client in particular, actually two clients in particular, that I'm like, I need to reach out to them and let them know that they really should try to apply for these grants. You mentioned farmers market. That is another grant, actually, in and of itself. There is a federal farmers market promotion program grant.
No kidding.
No kidding. It supports farmers who are working collectively with coordinating, you know, the farmers market, technical assistance and training to develop or expand the produce to consumer markets. So in the listening audience today, if you, you're a farmer or you're just in a town and you think, you know, hey, we really need to have a farmers market here. We don't have one. The closest one is, you know, 40 miles away or whatever the case may be. This would be the perfect grant for that community or that individual farmer to pull people together. And you can – it's actually a very generous grant. It's $250,000 for what they call capacity building, up to $500,000 for community development training and technical assistance. It only requires a 25% cash or in-kind match. So in-kind – for our listeners out there, can mean like if you have a donated space that somebody is allowing you to host the farmers market and not charging you for it. The rent that they could be charging you for is written as in-kind. That's the in-kind amount. So
that could be pretty generous.
It could be pretty generous. It could. Yeah. So, you know, 25% of either cash or in-kind or a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're talking about these various grants that are available that maybe those in farming have heard about,
mm-hmm,
but didn't really know whether they could apply,
mm-hmm,
or anything else like that, where they would be wondering, is there a way that this could fit into my operation? You're a good one to talk with. You could get them started on this.
Absolutely. We'd love to help them.
All right. Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center, your guest on this part of the program this morning, talking about grants and how federal and state grants are available and in ways that maybe we haven't even thought of to help agriculture and farmers and ag business development. A lot of different ways to go here. And if you don't have to be a farmer to benefit from this, although farmers can benefit from it,
mm-hmm,
and ag businesses can benefit from these things. We were talking, you gave us some examples about federal grant development. There are also state grants.
There are state grants. And it's important to note, too, that with both of these federal and state grants, I mean, I say farmers, but I want to make sure the listening audience understands that when I say farmers, I mean anyone who produces any type of agricultural product. So it could be if you raise honeybees and you sell honey, you know, that counts to me. That's still a type of farming, you know, or ag business at least. Obviously, if you have crops, you know, or you raise animals, then that's farming that as we typically know it. But if you also, you know, produce and make your own jams and jellies and salsa and things like that, if you're the producer of those things, then this falls within, you know, the potential for you to get these grants as well.
What just off the tip of my head here, and this I may be regretting even asking this question, but we have a lot of, oddly enough, a lot of wineries in this area.
We do. They are a producer.
Okay.
Yes, yes. They would definitely be included under this ag umbrella. Absolutely. That's a good point. Very good point. Okay, so state grants. Let's talk about those. The state grants are under the purview of the Missouri Department of Agriculture as well as the Missouri Ag and Small Business Development Authority. So that's who offers these grants. There's several grants. I'm only going to talk about three in particular. On the federal side, we had mentioned the value-added grant on the Fed side. Well, there's also a value-added grant on the state side. And so it's for the same type of thing. We talked earlier about what value-added is, if it, you know. And so the maximum funding on the state side is up to $200,000. There is an application fee at the state level. There is a 10% match required. So, you know, if you're total project is like $50,000, you would have to come up with $5,000 because that's the 10% match, right? And then there is a caveat to this one where it says that the tax credits must fund 50% of the grant request. So if you're asking for the full amount, which is that you could get, which is $200,000, then $100,000 of that would be in tax credits that you would receive. So again, one of those little details that you want to keep in mind, you're not going to receive cash up front for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the Missouri Value-Added Ag Grant. And then there's a Missouri Farm-to-Table Grant. And this is one that's also through the Missouri Ag and Small Business Development Authority. This one is for also up to $200,000, also requires a 10% cash match. 10% match, shouldn't say cash, just 10% match. And it also states that tax credits will fund 50% of the grant request. But this one, the farm to table, provides resources used to process locally grown ag products sold to institutions. So if you sell to directly to restaurants or other or schools or other organizations from your product sells directly to them, then this is the type of grant that you would want to try to apply for. And the type of expenses it will cover is things like coolers, freezers, equipment for washing and bagging and packing, and services that are like considered good manufacturing practices and things like that.
Okay, so there just is a variety of possibilities here that an individual who's in business or farming and farming is a business,
mm-hmm.
Might not even think about. And so, again, you're a good one to review these things with.
Right. And if you're thinking, okay, I don't know the first thing about writing a grant, there is a grant that you can get so that you can hire a grant writer. So under this broad category is called the Show Me Entrepreneurial Grants for Agriculture. And one of the grants is for up to $7,500. And it, the program's purpose is for technical assistance grants supporting hiring a third party, like a consultant, to support business development. So, and this is eligible people would be the individuals, groups, or businesses, or other organizations. And they can use this grant for website development, slotting fees, e-commerce planning costs, and of course, select consulting fees. So you could apply for this grant. You do have to have a 25% cash, specifically cash match. So if you hire a grant writer, they'll tell you what their fees are. And so let's say it's $3,000. You would have to come up with 25% of that, but the grant would then cover the other part.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing that's out there. Another grant through the Show Me Entrepreneurial Grant Program is for things that are innovation grants that are focused on expanding infrastructure to increase value-added ag produce. So this is for facilities and equipment investments and other upgrades. Also requires a $25,000 cash – oh, my goodness, a 25% cash match. And the max funding is up to $250,000. And then if you are one of those people out there who would like to do some workforce training or something like that on your farm or within your organization, there is a workforce development grant to help meet labor needs. And the grant can be used for employee hiring, training, or certification. So if there are specific certifications that cost money that your employees need to have, then there is a grant actually that could help you with that. It's for up to $5,000 in funding, 25% cash match is required.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones I was going to talk about at the state level. Again, there are more, but I thought these, I think, would be the most pertinent to the listening audience.
So again, with these grants and with the others that might be out there and might be applicable, if someone has an inkling to follow up on this and to learn more about it, there are ways they can do that, either online or just make an appointment, come and see you in your office and go through it.
That's right. Absolutely. Be happy to talk with anybody out there who's listening about these grants that are available. And the good thing about these particular grants is they are available generally every year. And they have specific closing dates on when you have to apply by a certain deadline. And then, you know, they have X amount of funds that are available. So they are competitive in the sense that, you know, you're going to want to make sure that your grant is written to the best that it can be, so that because you're going to compete against all the other people that are applying for those same funds.
Mm-hmm. And I know this is, we shouldn't be amused by this, but there is a grant to fund hiring a grant writer.
Yes.
So
I know.
So you could get help writing the grant that would ask.
Yeah.
You can get money to hire somebody to help you write a grant to get money.
I know. It's ironic, isn't it?
It is.
But it's there and it exists. And so it's good because that particular grant, though, at least it's, you know, the lift on that one is much less than the lift on these bigger grants. And so, you know, it's not going to be 20 pages long. It'll be like two. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that your average person could fill out and get some funding if they really need it.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that because it does forestall the question I was going to ask about whether I would need to hire a grant writer to help me write a grant to hire a grant writer. So
I don't think so. Not for that one.
Not for that one.
If okay. Anybody followed that train of thought either. And how much time do we have, Barry? Do we have time?
I've got about 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, then, after you submit a proposal, sometimes it can take months before you hear back. So just understand that. And there's usually a committee that gets together to meet and decide on, you know, who gets what money based upon usually a criteria that they have and how heavily they weight certain things like priorities. And if you need any assistance with these grants, finding these grants or even applying, give me a call at 816-364-4105.
Rebecca, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks, Barry.